Yes, welcome back to the show here on World Football Daily. We did promise a little bit of Italian football chat, and we did promise the man who's on the line right now, Mr. Richard Whittle, joining us, Serie A commentator, joining us on the show to talk all things Mario Balotelli and, of course, Italy's World Cup qualifier coming up next week as well. Richard, how are you doing today, my man?
Good, very good. Good to be on.
It's a pleasure to have you back once again, and we always enjoy getting your thoughts on Italian football. I know how much Raf enjoys looking at your picture on Twitter as well, from what I hear. but we'll stick to things on the pitch if we can move away from Rafa's internet browsing. Let's talk about what happened on the weekend first. A massive weekend for Napoli in terms of breaking that horrible streak of form and Cavani getting his first goal in seven games.
Well, exactly. They needed that. I think this weekend was pivotal, really. We were looking for Napoli to get back winning ways. They were back at home, so they're expected to beat Atalanta, but they made heavy weather of it. Cavani getting back on the score sheet, as you said. He could have scored last week, week before against Kiev, but missed a penalty, but found the back of the net twice at the weekend, so he broke his ducks. That's basically, you've got to say that Juventus now, you know, they're almost home and dry. That win against at Bologna was so important, and now Napoli are trying to just hold off Milan's charge for second place.
Is there a sense of maybe we expected this from Napoli at some point this season? Because we've been talking about whether they could challenge Juventus, and a lot of people have been saying it's more about them holding on to second place this year because of the squad depth that they've got.
Exactly. When you look at the top three, let's say the top three teams, Juventus, by far the strongest squad. You know, they can call upon 16 players this week who can step in and perform at the highest level. With Napoli, when they've got their first 11 all on form, all fit and feeling confident, then, you know, on their day they can beat anybody. They can beat Juventus. But over the arc of a season, especially if Cavani's not scoring, they're not getting the goals from anywhere. Pandev scored at the weekend, but that was his first goal since October. Hamsik's been have to carry the midfield, basically, as Ingler's really struggling, then the bench really aren't at the highest level, you know, to go for a Scudetto, for the league title. So we're expecting them really during the season, when injury suspensions, then that's with, you know, with Cannavaro as well. He was suspended. The mental problems they had with that, the psychological problems they had with that as well, have all sort of conspired against them. And really looking towards next season, they've got to really go out there and really strengthen the squad. And at the same time, hold off the offers for Cavani, of course.
Well, there is one offer flying around the English papers at the moment today. Is Manchester City, Napoli saying they can have Cavani for $60 million, but then they'd also be foolish to pay that sort of money. Are they just trying desperately to price anybody out of the market for him at this moment?
Well, what Aurelio De Laurentiis did with the last contract for Cavani, he was very smart, and a smart businessman that he is. He put in that clause, $60 million clause, saying that's the asking price. And when you look at it, how many clubs could come in and match that? Manchester City, PSG, possibly Real Madrid. So the fact that he has narrowed the field. And also the player, where that he would love to go to Real Madrid, less so to Manchester City, and no real desire to go to PSG. So, Mr. De Laurentiis has done very well. If he can hold on to Cavani and build a team around Cavani, then next season possibly looking at. A tilt at the Scudetto, and also the Champions League, latter stages of Champions League. We've seen this year that with a good draw, as always, if you can get a good draw, you can go far in the Champions League. But that's something that you've got no real control over. What you do have control over is strengthening your squad. So if he can prove to Cavani that they're going to set up a title-chasing squad of players we're talking about, what, 16 top quality players, then he could hold on to Cavani.
Richard, what about Cavani compared to other strikers around Europe? I mean, he is arguably the best striker in Italy right now, but how good is he? Is he worth this sort of money, do you think?
Well, you know, this is all the subjective of money, you know, down through the years. How much is a player worth? All you can say is, let's take that out of the equation, the money aspect. He's got 20 goals this season in Serie A. He's carried Napoli. He's a player who plays right across the front line. He never stops running. He's back helping out the defence. He's the all-round player. He's in great, if you look at him, he's in great physical shape. He's had his problems of late. You know, all strikers go through it. Also, there's been a lot. He's had a lot of pressure in his private life as well, with a lot of rumours going around his private life and his marriage, what's happening to that. He's in the world football, never mind European football, Napoli and Naples, and put the pressure on the players and their private lives. So it's a difficult place to also play in as well. And he's had all of those problems. And on top of that, he's carried the team on his shoulders. They're still second in the league, of course. But as you said, they're looking over their shoulders at Milan. So I think if you're talking about the money, he's definitely worth it. If you're talking about a top striker around Europe, you know, he's in that 40 to 60 million mark, certainly.
Unbelievable that we're talking about £60 million these days, isn't it, Richard? A striker.
Well, that's it, isn't it? Really, you know, it is all subjective. You could throw out any number, really. But I'd say if Manchester City came in and said, okay, we'll go 45, I think it would be very difficult to turn that down. You know, and that, you know, the 60 is what Mr. De Laurentiis wants, and also to put everybody off. But I'm sure if it was towards 40, 45, then he would go for it.
A striker that might be worth that sort of money at the moment is Mario Balotelli. Since his return to Serie A, has been in flying form for the Rossoneri. How much of this is the honeymoon period? How much of this is Balotelli just feeling so comfortable back at home in Italy? And how much of this is just his quality now shining through?
Well, we've got to look at, well, all of those, I think all of those issues come into play. Of course, you've got that early, the return, the fact that he's playing regular football again. What is it, six matches he's played for Milan, and he scored 7 goals. Within that, but you know, penalties for Balotelli, that's a given. He never misses a penalty. Coming back to Italy, getting away from the Premiership and all the pressure that he felt there, and you've got to say, didn't live up to the hype, really, and maybe got involved in too many off-field issues while he's back here in Italy, where that's not central. And he can live a quieter life, if you like. Also, here at Milan, he's head and shoulders above everybody else in terms of quality. And so he's the team leader. He's playing through the middle. He's flanked by Niang and El Shaarawy, eager runners for him. And also, if you look at it, apart from the derby, where he could have had a hat-trick, really, the opposition hasn't been that great. We've had Udinese, Parma, Cagliari, Genoa, and he scored against those types of defenders. He's a different quality, but certainly it's great to have him back in Italian football, and he's a big personality. And back here as well, we've seen him in the interviews, listened to him, and he's been very grounded. He's been answered the questions. He's keeping a very low profile. Now, obviously, everyone's waiting for the moment for him to explode, but let's hope that doesn't happen. And it's good that he's come back and he's settled in immediately, and he's got something to play for towards the end of the season. You'd think that Milan second place will mean so much, considering what's just happened against Barcelona out of the Champions League. They want to finish second. They don't want third, where you have to come back early, go through the preliminaries. So with Balotelli in the team and scoring regularly, Milan are going to be very confident that they can.
Richard, are you there, Richard?
Yes.
Sorry, just heard a slight crash there.
there wasn't the world stopping.
That's all right. I'm just checking you're safe and okay wherever we're talking to you from. That's all. Richard, Juventus, you say, have got this Serie A title race up pretty much home and dry at the moment. But second to fifth, those European spots, the two Champions League spots, the two Europa League spots, are absolutely wide open, stretching all the way down to eighth, with Catania battling still for one of those Europa League spots. Can you give us a prediction at this moment in time of who are you going to be your other four sides making Europe at the end of the season in Serie A?
Well, okay, so we've got Juventus, Napoli or Milan. That's really a toss-up. They've got to play each other. Then you've got Fiorentina, who've been up and down, but suddenly once they find their form, at the weekend they really had to battle to overcome Genoa, and that was an important victory. They've got some big matches coming up. Roma are on the march again with Francesco Totti in the best form of his career recently, and Roma really flying now. Well, Inter and Lazio are starting to struggle. Lazio in particular. And it's interesting that both teams had been in the Europa League. Inter no longer in it. So that will be a relief to them probably. So they can start to mount their charge again. But Lazio certainly struggling. And they'll be looking more for the Italian Cup, which also allows a team to get into the Europa League. So you've got to really say, looking at it at the moment, Fiorentina, Roma, Inter for the Europa League. Catania have had an amazing season, 45 points, just two off their record. If they get to the 50-point mark, which you'd expect them to, that'd be an amazing season for them. Interesting Italian football, turning back to what we expect with the big names that I've just mentioned. They're battling for the European places.
It's going to be a thrill ride all the way down to the final last few places in Serie A. You mentioned a player just then, though, who's playing some out-of-this-world football in his career, Francesco Totti. And potentially, I mean, are you buying this possibility of a Totti call-up to the Italian side? Once again, we've got the World Cup qualifiers just round the corner. Obviously, he's not in this current squad. But do you like the idea of Totti coming up and back into the Italy side?
No, not really. I think... to be blunt, not really. I think the reason why he's playing so well at club level is that he doesn't have the pressures of international football. What's happening with Francesco Totti is that he saw last season that things weren't going well. He's got his personal trainer. What helped was Zdeněk Zeman returning to the club, who was the coach that really launched Totti's career. And he sat down with him, discussed his training program. A lot of talk about his diet as well, which is very strange considering that we're in Italy, probably the best diet in the world. But it's just not the diet, but his training. And also, at his age, 36, his rest. So Francesco Totti's had a training program tailored for him, training with the squad, but not maybe doing as much as the other players, doing a lot of stretching. And really just extending his career, as we've seen around Europe. There was a talk with Rio Ferdinand in England. That's what he's doing, Manchester United. Ryan Giggs playing on to 40 with his yoga and very much looking after themselves in the rest time, because these players, and especially Francesco Totti, the quality is there. Well, season, he is in amazing form physically, mentally he's feeling good. And his quality is just shining. And I've got to say also, he's playing in Serie A, which is played, as we've seen, at a slower pace than other European leagues, certainly slower than England, for example. And that's helped them as well. But there's no doubt about it. His touch and the goals he's scoring, the records he's breaking. This is another reason I feel that Roma will push right up there, maybe into... maybe not third place, might be a bit of a stretch for them now, but certainly into fourth place on the back of Totti's form. But I would doubt we'd ever see him back in an Italian shirt.
It would be a one hell of a showing if Francesco did pull on an Italy shirt for Prandelli's national team. And obviously they've got the friendly coming up against Brazil, and then the game against Malta in the World Cup qualifiers. How does the approach to this Brazil friendly on Friday, how is that changed to normal friendlies? Will Prandelli treat it like a competitive game?
Anytime Italy play Brazil, they treat it like a World Cup final. Italy haven't beaten Brazil since 1982, the semi-finals, the group stages, but let's call them the semi-finals. It was a playoff, really, wasn't it, to get through. And that's the last time that Italy have beaten Brazil. And the Italians like to think outside of Brazil that they are the most passionate football country in the world. And I don't think we would lay too many bets against that. So when Italy play Brazil, it's the summit of world football, and Thursday night's friendly, Mr. Prandelli is treating with the utmost respect, and interestingly, he's brought in two suspended players, Pablo Osvaldo and Daniele De Rossi. Match, they won't be available for the Malta game, and at the same time, what he's also done is bring in the informed players in Serie A at the moment. So you've got players that come from being informed with their clubs and straight into the national team, where he will hope they will continue that good form. We're talking about Cherchi at Torino, Pauli, who's playing at Sampdoria, Antonelli, who is at Genoa. Those three players brought into the squad, and he can take those players on with a good showing against Brazil. Malta, Italy don't have to put out their strongest team to overcome Malta, and also Italy in good form in their World Cup qualifiers as well. They're already looking towards Brazil. Brazil, the World Cup final, that is, not Brazil, the match on Thursday.
Richard, when you look at, you talked about kind of the youngsters coming into this side, and Prandelli's mentioned the youngsters that need to be coming through for Italy at the moment. No Verratti in this side after his great start to the season at PSG. But also, how important is the front line of Mario Balotelli and El Shaarawy, and them connecting with each other as they've been doing for the Rossoneri this season?
Well, the Verratti, he had a slight injury. So Mr. Prandelli, again, is he works so well with the clubs. So when a player is not 100% with injury, in a situation like this, as I say, against a friendly against Brazil, even though it's a prestigious friendly, and in a World Cup qualifier against Malta, you can leave out players who aren't 100%. But yeah, El Shaarawy, for working with Mr. Prandelli. He hasn't been in the best of form. He's been overshadowed, in fact, by Balotelli. And his job now at Milan is to get the ball, run at defences, and set up Mario Balotelli for goals. El Shaarawy's got 16 goals this season for Milan. He had been the star player until Mario Balotelli arrived, but he's accepted his role in a way. Not 100%. He was a little bit disappointed being substituted at the weekend, but I think this is a great opportunity for him to show what he can do against one of the best countries in the world, Brazil, and then also in a World Cup qualifier where Italy will expect to score quite a few goals.
Well, we hope that Balotelli and Shaarawy can find that beautiful chemistry that we love to see when two forwards have that makeup in the front line and start banging the goals in, both for club and country. Richard, it's an absolute pleasure to have had you on the show, mate. We always enjoy getting you on and your thoughts on Italian football, and we look forward to getting you back on as soon as we can, mate.
Okay, that's great. I'd love to be back. And whoever wants to look at my Twitter photo, feel free.
Don't worry. We'll be sending out the link and giving your Twitter feed a shout, mate. Don't worry. We'll just try and block Rafa's computer from it, that's for sure.
Exactly.
Take care, mate. Have a wonderful day.
Okay, all right. All the best.
Cheers, Richard. Thanks very much. Richard Whittle there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things the Italian national team and Serie A football as well. If you do want to check out Richard's Twitter feed and obviously scout through his pictures, as Rafa tends to do apparently, you can catch him at capital R-I-C-H, capital W-M-A-N. That's Rich W Man. With capital R, capital W, all one word on Twitter.
FYI, a public service announcement for all you local Americans. if you are here in the States and you have BN Sports and or have the ability to get BN Sport, you will be privy to sometimes getting Richard Whittle, Paul Visca covering some of the Italian stuff. It's really, really awesome. It's great to have back on our, you know, in our ears when we do get to hear them. I love to hear them commentating, and they also have that Serie A review show that they play on BN Sport. It's quality stuff. It's literally produced by Paul Visca and Richard Whittle. They do a lot of the voiceover stuff. I mean, cannot talk enough about those guys. I love them personally. It's very strange and awkward to listen to these guys when I listen to them, because I get so kind of excited and I almost feel like I'm listening to commentary. You know what I mean? All I'm doing is missing the game. So I'll end up turning on the television juice here in my recording studio, and I'll just have whatever game going on. And as long as I'm like listening to you guys talking, It's just fantastic. Like I feel at peace, Juice.
Mate, it's always a pleasure to have Richard on the show, and he's always such a calming, relaxed kind of guy when we get him on chatting Italian football. Like nothing phases him. Everything just comes in its stride, and you know Totti's having a great season, but there's no need to yell about it or whatever. You know, look. We'll just say it. Totti is having a wonderful season with Roma. Here is exactly why it's happening. And Richard giving us the lowdown on why he thinks Francesco Totti is having the wonderful season that he's having so far this season. 226 total Serie A goals, out and out. The second highest scorer in Serie A history. A magnificent achievement for Francesco Totti this weekend. And long may his reign in Roma continue, because I still don't think Daniele De Rossi this season has shown that he's the guy to take on the mantle of that iconic Roma born and bred boy to take on Totti's mantle. And I think it's still his to have. Although, as Richard said, Daniele De Rossi called up to the Italian national team. They take on Brazil this week in a friendly before next week's World Cup qualification round match against Malta in Group B. Italy sitting very, very pretty indeed. Played for 3 wins, 1 draw, 10 points. Second place Bulgaria, 4 points behind them. And it looks like the Italians are cruising through to Brazil 2014. We're going to take a very quick break here on World Football Daily. When we come back, we'll be wrapping up the show. A huge thanks to Richard Whittle there for joining us, and we'll be telling you how you can get your hands on some Puma boots. Das Puma with our Bundesliga competition. All that and more after the break.
Yeah, Borussia Dortmund, yeah.